So we are in Acts. We were in Acts earlier today. Let's move on to Revelation tonight. What do you say? Revelation 21, as I recall. Is that right? 21? This is New Jerusalem we're talking about. And I hope that you find it as exciting as I do to think, consider what we're talking about in this. But it's New Jerusalem, and it begins in Revelation 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, crystal clear. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are all equal. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedon, the fourth emerald, the fourth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you indeed for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who illuminates and magnifies your word for us. Father, we come to you recognizing that some of the things that you write are beyond our ability to comprehend. Thank you that we may trust you, because everything that we do understand, we see you clearly have kept your promises. And so, Lord, we thank you for those things that are too beautiful, too wonderful to even imagine. So, Lord, as we look into your word, help us to follow your Holy Spirit as he opens our eyes, our hearts, and our minds. For we pray in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen. I want to take you back to Revelation chapter 17 for just a moment, if I could, please. Because here we see in 21, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls. You recall the seven bowls were filled with judgment and death and dying on an earth that was in judgment. This is New Jerusalem that we're seeing. The seven angel, one of the seven angels who had done that, is now saying, "Come here, let me show you. Let me show you something different." And so there's going to be something completely different, because here he's showing a bride. If you look at chapter 17, verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." And so the rest of the next two chapters, 17 and 18, were about the destruction of Babylon, the corrupt religious system, the corrupt political system, the world system, all destroyed in 17 and 18. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the same angel that brings bad news brings wonderful news. So it's not the messenger, it's the message, isn't it? It always has been. It's not the messenger, it's the message. And so when we see him saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So instead of pointing out, he says, this great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And so it's the angel is talking about the difference between what God has done. Because when we say New Jerusalem, it is not just a physical structure, it is a people, as we talked about last week, right? It is the people of God. And you read that, it talked about the 12 gates. Did you notice that they had three on each side of New Jerusalem? Three gates. Why? Because if you go back in the Old Testament and look, the children of Israel, when it came time to be camped around the tabernacle, guess where they were? Three on each side. It's not, nothing about God is coincidental. And so when we see that the gates are named, there's a reason why they're named what they're named for the children of Israel. It says there that he carried me away to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, what's jasper? jasper is what we would call a diamond. But in this particular case, it would be a flawless diamond. I don't know if you've ever seen a flawless diamond. The diamonds that I've given Suzanne, you have to have a magnifying glass to see them, let alone any flaws in them. So a flawless diamond. Now think about that for just a moment. The measurements of New Jerusalem are given here too. And just to make it easy, we're going to call it 1,400 miles per dimension. And it's a perfect cube, 1,400 miles in each direction. 1,400 miles. Now you're thinking to yourself, that's a long way. I want you to think for just a moment of the most holies there, the Holy of Holies. And the description of it in the Old Testament is that it is 20 cubits. 20 cubits would be about 30 feet. It's a cube, just like New Jerusalem is a cube. So it's 30 feet. But interestingly enough, it is 30 feet and it is covered with gold. So they took gold, hammered it out in that day. Of course, that was how they could do that. To work with gold, they would have to hammer it out smooth and polish it. And so there it is, this beautiful gold room that is 30 feet high, 30 feet wide, 30 feet deep, if you want to say it that way. That's a huge amount of gold, isn't it? The Bible says that no stone or wood was visible, only gold, right? 30 cubic feet. And every inch of that wall is covered in gold. I said jasper was what? Like a flawless diamond. Now, it's like a flawless diamond. It's not diamond, but it's like, because what John is seeing, and the best he can do to relate to it, is this city of perfection with people, by the way, who are perfected in it, right? When we get to heaven, guess what you're going to be like? Just like now, only perfect. So some of you aren't going to change at all, right? Some of us aren't going to be recognizable, are we? The truth of the matter is, nothing about heaven is anything other than perfect. And so what John is trying to describe is this beautiful, beautiful place that is how big? 1,400 cubic miles. 1,400 cubic miles. Did I say that? Now, I want to ask you, if you went from here, 1,400 miles straight line west, how far do you think that would be? About 1,400 miles. El Paso. Now, listen to me carefully. Have you ever been to El Paso? El Paso is, yes, you have, haven't you? A couple times. El Paso is closer to the Pacific Ocean than it is to Beaumont, Texas. Okay, to tell you how far that is. Because if you've been to Dallas, you're almost halfway to El Paso. Okay? So, that's a little exaggeration. Just kidding. Just a little exaggeration. The truth is, 1,400 miles straight line to El Paso. Now, if you go to the due north from here, roughly speaking, it would place you in Hudson Bay, Canada. 1,400 miles. So that gives you sort of the square area, but then it's cubed, right? So it's 1,400 miles up. So what am I saying? It is huge, and it is indescribably beautiful. So we were, if you were thinking like I'm thinking, 30 cubic feet, and it's not filled with gold, but it's lined with gold. This is 1,400 cubic miles that look like a diamond. There's a little difference there. And the difference is, God told men to do the best they could, and then God showed them what he wanted. Right? This is what the real plan is right here. I think about what was it that God intended with Adam and Eve. You know, they weren't intended to die. They were created for life and not death. You were created in his image. And I wonder over and over and over in my mind, what is it that he intended to accomplish with me? Instead of us doing the very best we can for God, what is it that he intended to accomplish through us? And how far short of that have we come? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the distance between what he intended and what we provided, what actually was reality, was as close as the difference in the Holy of Holies and the New Jerusalem? Because I'm not sure that if you look at my life, I can say it's like a 30-foot cubic room, a 30-cubic foot room all lined with solid gold. I'm not sure it's that precious. I'm thinking it's far short of that. And so when we start talking about God's letting us look at New Jerusalem, I think we ought to consider the expectations he has of us. And he has every right to have high expectations. He created us for that. So, 1,400 miles of something as beautiful as diamonds. And it goes on to say that the foundations of the wall are adorned with all kinds of jewels. Now, the jewels that are mentioned relate in somewhat to the jewels on the vesture of the priests of the Old Testament. And so you may see that some of those same stones, if you look back in the book of Numbers, the pearl gates, the golden streets. And so he measured, the angel is measuring that. He has a gold reed to measure the city, its gates. And the foundations, of course, are named for the apostles. Now, the reason I was taking my time there is I wanted to share that with you is the gates are named for whom? The tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. And the foundations are named for the apostles. What does that mean? It means that in the New Jerusalem, all of the saints of God are there. Those who trusted before the cross and those who have trusted since. Those who have gone to be with the Lord now and those who will be martyred during the tribulation. So it's everyone who's ever trusted in. Now think about that. How much room does that mean you're going to have? It's going to be tight in there, isn't it? Well, not so much. Not so much. I'm afraid, you know, if you think about, say, 100 billion people having lived on the earth from the time of Adam until this time of completion, 100 billion. We have about, 7 billion now, right? Give or take. So if we have 100 billion people who've lived in all of time, the 6,000 years or so plus until then, and you have 1,400 cubic miles to live in, that percentage of people leaves quite a bit of space. Leaves quite a bit of space. And so it's going to be perfect. So your mother-in-law is going to be on the far corner from where you are. And that's not really what I want to say. The truth of the matter is, one of the things that I find wonderful about being in heaven is the speed of travel. The speed of travel is at the speed of thought. And I say that, and this is just me saying that you can't really prove this anywhere in the Bible. But you remember Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch. And instantly he was transported from the desert to where he needed to be. Boom, boom, boom. You know, and it's just, you know, speed of light is so slow compared to the speed of thought. Because instantly you are wherever it is that you were thinking. And so there is a wonderful aspect about being with the eternal. I saw no temple in it in New Jerusalem. Why? Because God and his Lamb are the temple. There is no need for the temple because the temple is for the purpose of worship. And so we have no need for connection. We are there. That is it. For the same reason, there is no night. Why? Because the light is there. In the beginning, God created the light, right? Remember? And it was good. What I believe was happening there is that the electromagnetic spectrum was created so that the light could be expressed. Because later, the sun and the stars and all these things that give light were given, but light was already present because God himself is light. It's kind of beyond me anyway, but the truth of the matter is there's no night there. And in the old days, night was something to be feared. We don't relate to that now because we have some of us do, okay. But we don't really have the same concerns. And you notice the gates, but there are no doors on the gates, if you want to say it that way. They're not blocked. There's an angel there, though, isn't there? What's the angel doing? Is he an angel for protection? There's no need for protection. He's a ministering angel, not a warring angel, not someone to defend us. There's nothing to defend us against. For the glory of God illuminates. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Now, one of the things about it is whoever's in New Jerusalem belongs to God. And whatever their flaws and foibles were on this earth, mortality has been clothed in immortality. Mortality has passed away. And so perfection is all that is found there. So every one of us is perfected. We've been made complete in Christ. And so the kings and princes who had reigned here and were also believers will be there, but they will be giving to God the glory that is deserving of that he is deserving of. And the honor of the nations into it. And so I guess what I'm saying is when the New Jerusalem comes into being, we will see that the priorities and the appropriate view of the true sovereignty of God will be reestablished. All right, so we see this beautiful, beautiful city. We see the people inside it. Guess what? The bride of Christ is being described as this beauty also. Because again, the city is not a structure by itself. It is the people that are the inhabitants of the city. But then it says something at the last that we need to focus on for just a bit, and that is, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so, there's always that dichotomy, just as I showed you with the city of Babylon. There's this great city Babylon that is called what? The Great Whore. Or this great city New Jerusalem, which is called what? The Bride of the Lamb, right? And so there's always this comparison, this contrast with the Bible. And it's saying these are the pure people, the Bride of the Lamb, and these are the ones that are so beautiful. But these shall never have part in that. And over again, we see that dichotomy throughout the Bible that says you have to see the positive in light of the fact there is negative. And so the other side of that coin, if I can take you back to 21 verse 7, it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Listen to verse 8. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so it's repeated here as a matter of emphasis to say there's this place that we end up, just as Babylon did, just as the kings and the merchants wailed about the destruction of Babylon, so there is this end for other people. There are always two options. You ever wonder why it is that God arranged for Jesus to die between two thieves? It's so that we could very clearly see once again, one saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," and the other one cursing and laughing with him. Can you imagine dying on a cross and being able to curse the person beside you? Because, as we said this morning, the human heart is desperately wicked. And when we see it clearly, we understand. And that's a very clear example. Even in this time of great joy, of great victory, of glory for God, he wants to remind us there is that other side that will never come in. So some of you remember when you lived in a place and you didn't lock your doors. You didn't have to worry about the keys to the car. You didn't have to worry about where the kids are if the sun went down. You can remember those days. That's just a little glimmer of what God is talking about. This is the place where there is no night. This is the place where there are no cowards, there are no liars, there are no thieves. There is no evil. There are no more tears. This is home. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you indeed. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for preparing a place for us. And thank you, Lord, for making it available for us at your expense. We do thank you, Lord, for loving us in such a way, for demonstrating that love so clearly and making it so freely available. For we pray in the name of our Savior, our Redeemer Christ. Amen.